Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And I'm just going to stop right there. And I want to focus upon, and again, he entered into Capernaum. Amen. I was talking with Brother Newman last Sunday night and showed him this scripture. And as we began to kind of work our way through it, I circled a couple of words and I put in there. Number one was again. And so I wanted to know what happened first. And then number two was Capernaum. And I wanted to know what happened in Capernaum. And so today I just want to preach to you that again he entered into Capernaum. Amen. Praise God. Would you set your Bibles down? Would you just lift your voice and ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you and exalt you. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. Amen. I want to start off by stating that the church is the greatest entity that this world has ever known. It is the most powerful organism that this world has ever experienced. It is an organism in the fact that it is alive because the church continues to grow. You do not get in the church by signing a church card. You do not get in the church by shaking a preacher's hand. You do not get in the church even by, as many would say, believing on the Lord or accepting Him as your personal Savior. There is only one way to become a part of that church, and the Lord said that we must be born again. And John, he told Nicodemus there, Jesus spoke to him, and he said that if a man is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again of water and the Spirit. As a matter of fact, he said, if you are going to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again of water and the Spirit. Amen. Thus spake he concerning the Holy Ghost and even baptism. And we would see that that Peter would preach that message even on the day of Pentecost of being born again of water and the Spirit. As Peter said unto them when they asked, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? I think it is important to understand that the people that were asking the questions were the religious people of the day and age. And the religious people were pricked in their hearts, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have not repented of your sins, today would be a good day to repent of them. Because the first message that Jesus ever preached after that he was baptized, the Bible said that he went about preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You are in a church today that believes in old-fashioned repentance. Not because that it is an old-fashioned message, but simply because it is the message. It is the only message that works. Men must repent. The Bible teaches us that He came to save us from our sins. Not save us in our sins, but to save us from our sins. And repentance is turning around from your sin, leaving and walking away from your sin. And baptism is the washing away of that sin. Praise God. Amen. We don't believe, amen, that we're necessarily saved by grace alone. And the Bible does teach us in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 that we are saved by grace, but that's where most denominations will stop. Amen. But the rest of that verse says that we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus, that if I do what He tells me to do, I shall be saved. And what did He tell me to do? He told me to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. And Peter preached to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the washing away and the atonement of those sin. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, amen, the first thing that you must do is you must repent. Because if you don't repent, there's nothing to be remitted. There's nothing to be washed away. We're not in the business of just baptizing people. John went and he looked at those and he said that was lined up to be baptized, and he said, "Who hath warned you of the wrath of God to come?" He said, "Go, get out of here, amen, and don't come back until you bring fruit meet for repentance, and then we'll talk about baptism." Praise God. And we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for there is no other name, Acts 4:12, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Paul said, "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed," which would include baptism, "do all in the name of Jesus." And Jesus said that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die, that repentance and remission of sin, which is baptism, should be preached in His name. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3 tells us, "In whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named." Where did we get that name? We got that name in baptism, when we were baptized, amen, unto His death. Thank God for these things. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Genghis Khan, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, and any other of the world leaders and generals, they have never been over and experienced a greater, more powerful army than the army of the living God. Amen. Praise God. You don't get any more powerful than when you take the vilest sinner, no matter what they have done. Amen. And with the blackest, dankest heart, and you bring them to an altar of repentance, and when they repent of their sins and they're baptized in the name of Jesus and they're filled with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, there is no greater power. Alexander the Great could have conquered the whole world, but if Jesus would have stepped upon the throne and stepped upon the face of the world, it would have been completely different. Amen. Napoleon, amen, could have done his thing and could have conquered at Waterloo instead of falling at Waterloo. But if he had been successful, there was one that was greater than him. As a matter of fact, when Napoleon was asked what he thought about Jesus Christ, he replied and said, "I know men, and Jesus Christ was no man." We believe that He was God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Amen. We believe that He was preached unto the Gentiles. We believe that He was resurrected and that He ascended up into heaven. We believe that He is the greatest. He is that which was and is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. And when you are stuck studying and looking through history, you will find good and even great men. But it is not very long before, in reading and in studying, that you will find another man that is just as good or even greater than the previous, because all men can be matched with another great man. Let me give you some examples here this morning. If we were to look at Homer of the Greeks, we could say that just a few years later, there was Virgil. What about Edmund Burke? I would present to you William Jennings Bryant. For every Shakespeare, there is a Bacon. Amen. And for every Sir Walter Scott, there is a Robert Burns. John Wesley, what about Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards? You may say Spurgeon. I would say Henry Ward Beecher. Alexander the Great. There was Caesar. Napoleon, defeated by Wellington. Plato. What about Socrates? Buddha. I give you Muhammad. George Washington. What about Abraham Lincoln? Benjamin Franklin. James Madison. Robert E. Lee. There's Andrew Jackson. What about General Grant? What about General Zachary Taylor? You could say, well, there was Nathan Hale. I would say there was Patrick Henry. What about Christopher Columbus? I would ask you, what about Magellan? You may say Beethoven. I would say Mozart or Bach or Brahms. Amen. What about Alexander Graham Bell, the greatest? I would say Thomas Edison. You may say Henry Ford. I would say Jay Gould. Daniel Webster, Winston Churchill. Mark Twain, Will Rogers. Michelangelo, what about Rembrandt? Amen. We could get in even into the Bible, and we could say, what about Noah? I'd say, what about Abraham? Gideon, Samson, Eli, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Job, the three Hebrew children, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Timothy, Titus, John the Baptist, Stephen, and we could go on and on and on, because all of these were great men. They were wonderful men, amen, but they were soon followed after by another one that was equivalent or even greater than them. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no match, there is no equivalent, there is no one, nobody that is able to stand in comparison to the Christ, the Messiah that came upon the face of the earth. Charles Lamb made a statement, and he said that if a group of men were all gathered together and Shakespeare walked in, all of the men would stand to honor him. But if Jesus came in, they would all fall on their face and worship him. Praise God. No wonder David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You know why? Because with the naked eye, I can see the greatness of God. But when I begin to examine in just a little bit closer, I see more greatness. And if I magnify and zoom into the 100th degree, I see things that I've never seen before. If I were to zoom in with a million degrees, I would see things that I have never seen before. But I would never be able to see the incomparable Christ in all of his glory and all that he is. Praise God. I could take the time to talk to you about the tabernacle and say that everything that was in the tabernacle was a representation of the Messiah that was to come. And I could talk to you about the Ark of the Covenant that was 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits high, and 1.5 cubits tall. And the half beckons our attention, speaking unto us that if there is a half, then there is another half, because it equates to the whole. Amen. And we understand that Jesus of the Old Testament, or the God of the Old Testament, was just a part of that which was, because he was a shadow of a substance that was to come. In the Old Testament, he was God concealed. In the New Testament, he was God revealed. Amen. That's who that God was. But I want to take it another step further here today. And that is that when we look at 2.5, amen, and we double that to make the whole of 5, we know that the number 5 is a representation of grace. But this just shows us that in all of our understanding, and in all of our knowledge, in all of our studying, we will only experience half of grace on this side. You're only going to understand half of what grace can be. You're only going to understand half of what grace is in your life. Amen. Because this is the earth. Amen. This is life. That's half. And then there is the death. And that's the other half. And when you get to the other half, you begin to see 1.5 is a half of 3. And 3 is the number of resurrection. And one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And there shall we always or forever be with him. It's in heaven we're going to understand the other half of grace. It's in heaven we'll understand the other half of resurrection. It's in heaven we'll understand the other half of mercy on the mercy seat. It's in heaven that we're going to understand it better by and by. Oh, somebody ought to give him praise today, because you only understand just a little bit and it's good enough. You only understand just a small amount of the power of God, but it's good enough. You're a part of the church and it's good enough. But one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and things are going to be different. He's going to wipe the tears from your eyes. He's going to take the heartbreak from you. He's going to take the bad memories from you, and all shall be hope, joy, and gladness in that day. Oh, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. I get excited when I begin to think about what he's done for me. I used to not be like this. You would have found me in the gutters of society. Some of you were in the gutters of society. Some of you were dead in trespasses and in sin. But God, who is rich in his glory, came unto you and spoke life into your life. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. For every Job, there may have been 3 Hebrew children. Amen. But let me just say, there was never another that was like the Messiah. Praise God. Amen. There was never one who was a divine child, wounded by Satan, but yet crushed Satan. Never one who was the judge of men, yet led from one tribunal to another. Never was one who was the Savior of all mankind, yet he was crucified on Calvary. There never was another, a man who had no sin in him, yet the sin of the whole world was upon him. There never was one who was saved, who was able to save others, but himself he would not save. There was never another who was incarnate wisdom, yet was derided as a fool. There was never another who was the King of glory, but crowns as a crown of thorns, thorns as a crown. Amen. There was never another who was the Prince of Peace, yet accused of being a disturber of publicans. There never was another who was the Lord of Sabbath, yet accused of being a Sabbath breaker. Never was one who was the truth but accused of being a liar. Who was, amen, the truth but accused of being a hypocrite and an imposter. There never was another who was the Lion of Judah with the power to crush the kingdom beneath his feet, but yet was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Never was another who spoke as never a man spake, yet as a sheep he was dumb, and so opened he not his mouth. Never answered railing for railing. There never was another who poured all the rivers and oceans into this world with his words, yet opened
opened his mouth and said, I thirst. There never was another who came from glory to glory, put on humanity that we might put on divinity, who became the Son of Man that we could become the sons of God. Never was another who was rich, but for our sake he became poor. Never was another who put on corruptible flesh that I might be able to put on incorruptible. I'm talking about the God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, who came to justify the world, who came to shed his blood upon the face of this earth, so that people like you and me, so that sinners like you and I could go free. Let's magnify him today. Oh, let's magnify him today. Wonder why we get excited when we begin to talk about Jesus. Amen. Because we used to be dead in sins. You're looking at former alcoholics, former drug addicts, amen, former people that were messed up in all kinds of ways. Society had given up on us, and the devil had thrown us to the wayside, and we were addicted and bound even by false doctrine and religions. But God came down. I didn't have anything to offer him, but he had a lot to give me. I was broke, amen, but he paid for my atonement at Calvary's cross, and I give him all praise. Praise God. Praise God. See, I couldn't preach that in Ponca City because that'd be my 30 minutes. So I had to skip all of that. But we come to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. And in our text it says that again he entered into Capernaum after some days, meaning that he had been there before. And if he had been there before, I submit to you that they knew him. If he had been there before, then I would submit to you that they knew what to expect of him. You see, Capernaum was a historical town in the Bible days, situated on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was often referred to in the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, as a place where Jesus performed many miracles. And he taught. He taught about the bread of life there in Capernaum synagogues. Capernaum was a significant center during Jesus' ministry. And I began to look into what Capernaum may mean. And it does not have a literal meaning, but rather I found that it is made up of two prominent words there. One was caper and the other was numb. Pronounced a little bit different, but you understand. And the caper simply meant a village, and the numb meant comfortable. So it simply means that Capernaum was a comfortable village. A comfortable village. And the Bible said in chapter number 8 and verse number 5, that Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him, crying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, well, I will come and I will heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but if you would just but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I am a man of authority and under authority, having soldiers under me. And if I say to this man, go, he goes. And if I say to another, come, he comes. And if I say to my servant, do this, then he does that. For I am a man under authority. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, them that were around him, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And he begins to speak of the faith that this man has. And he said, I have not seen this great faith anywhere, no, not in Israel. And in verse number 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus in Capernaum speaks the word, and this man some distance away is healed of his palsy. At that point in time, Jesus is called unto Peter's mother-in-law's house there in Capernaum. And he walks in and he finds that she has a fevered brow. And he speaks to her and speaks healing unto her. And the Bible said that she was healed immediately, and that she even got up and began to minister to them, or to wait upon them. Praise God. We could go to the book of Mark, chapter number 1, verse number 32. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. This was in Capernaum. They brought unto him all that were diseased and even those that were possessed with devils. And the Bible said that all the city, all of Capernaum, was gathered together at the door. All that was in this comfortable little village. Can you imagine calling it comfortable village with the demon possessed running around? You know what that tells me? That tells me that it had become a way of life. It had become the norm. It had become the expected. Can I just say that that's the day and age that we live in? And people are comfortable living in this day and age. There are some that may be a little bit anxious about it. But oh, could we begin to talk about all of the things that we have become comfortable with? All of the things that used to cause nausea. All of the things that used to be disgusting today has become the norm. Instead of casting out these devils, man, there are places at every corner that want to counsel about these devils. Come and sit on my couch and let me counsel you and tell you why that you're experiencing this is because of your childhood and because of the way that you was raised. Amen. Maybe it's so. My mom had a revelation that if she took a B-E-L-T, she could B-E-A-T the devil out of me. And for those of you that didn't understand, amen, she was a firm believer that she could take a belt and beat the devil out of you. Amen. I guess she conquered that. Praise God. Amen. I just say that in our generation, there's a whole lot. No, let's not cut it short. There's a whole lot that could use some of that old-time religion. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Dad used to say, look, if you don't get it up here, we're going to start down here and we're going to drive it until it finally gets it up into here. Amen. If you don't get it, we'll start down at the seat of understanding. Amen. And we'll get it until you get it into the head of knowledge. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we didn't come to talk about that today. Amen. But I heard Vicki Winans say one time, I think it was Vicki Winans, somebody else may have said it. Amen. And she said, Mama, she said, if you don't beat your kids today, somebody's going to beat them tomorrow. Amen. The drug addict's going to beat them tomorrow. Prison gang's going to beat them tomorrow. The police are going to beat them tomorrow. And because you didn't talk about and set some authority in their life. That's the problem with this world. Nobody understands authority anymore. Cops are just a bunch of pigs. Amen. And all this other stuff. That's not what they are. They are the authority. And they are there. And you need to respect the authority. It starts in the home. You need to respect the authority of the home. Amen. And if you can learn to respect the authority of the home, you can begin to have a decent job. Because if you can't respect authority, you're not going to be able to hold a job. But when you can expect authority, you can hold a job, and you can be risen up, and you'll be given authority. Authority isn't demanded. Authority is gained. Praise God. And respect isn't demanded. Where did that come from? Oh, I forgot. I left the evangelist shoes in the closet. That's just the pastoral shoes. Praise God. But it's amazing how all of these things have become the norm amongst us now. The norm. And everybody just seems to expect it. Everybody just seems to feel like, well, that's just what always goes on. I'm here to say that's not what God wants to happen. As a matter of fact, as we slip further and further into the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus says, as it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the last days. I don't care if it's becoming the norm in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's going to judge it and fire's going to fall. I don't care if it's the norm in the days of Noah. God's going to judge it and the rain is going to fall. The flood is going to come. Amen. And I know that he's not going to send the flood again. And so let me speak to 2024. I don't care if it is become the day, the norm in our day. God's going to judge it and the trumpet is going to sound. And there's going to be a fire that's going to devour and consume this earth. Praise God. And so all of the city was gathered together at the door. And the Bible said that Jesus healed many that were sick of divers diseases, such as COVID and the flu and RSV and all these things that we've been facing here of late. The Bible said that pestilences were going to come. That's what the Bible says. I'm not shocked. Some people are shocked, say something worse than COVID is coming. I got something worse than that for you. The end of the world is coming. But Jesus told the church, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm ready to go to heaven. And I believe that the church is crying out, even so much the more, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. If you're not right with God, you need to repent of your sins. If you're not right with God, now would be a good time to repent. Now would be a good time to get right with God. Now would be a good time to get your life in the church. One of these days a trumpet is going to sound and the church is leaving the face of this earth. Hallelujah! Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. We could talk about no more dying there, no more crying there. We're going to see the King. Praise God, praise God, hallelujah. And he healed them of all that were sick with divers diseases, and he cast out many devils. You know why? Because devils don't belong. They may be the prince and the power of the air, but we are the children of God, and he died even for sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Praise God. Cast out many devils, and he suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place there in Capernaum, and he prayed. I'm just here to say that in that comfortable little village, the comforter stepped on the scene. What they thought was comfortable, a man was exposed by the comforter. He said, you think that this is comfort? You think that this is the norm? I've come and I am going to show you comfort. He said, I'm going to show you peace. And he would say, I speak peace unto you. Amen. He changed things. And people began to realize, amen, this isn't the norm. This doesn't have to be the norm. I thought this was good. I thought that everything was fine. I thought that everything was going great. I thought that everything in my life was lining out. I thought that the stars were coming into alignment. I thought that the raise on my job was the will of God. I thought this, I thought that. But Jesus came and he began to talk to them about the bread of life. And he said, you can eat of that bread and you're going to go away hungry. But if you eat of this bread, amen, you're going to be full. I'm going to give you the bread of life. But one day he walked away. He walked away. And Capernaum looked around. Oh, I don't know exactly who that was, but even as the two on the road to Emmaus would say, did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, that was something else. Did you see? Oh, yeah, I did. Did you? Can I bring it into 2024? Woo, Jesus. Did you see when Brother Joshua walked in that back door and came and sat right there on that front pew that Sunday morning? Did you see that? Did you see that Brother Worse was preaching that Sunday morning? Did you see that he came? I don't remember if you were or not. I thought you were, but I remember now that he said, just as I was just talking about this, he had heard you speak at a college. Did you see when he came to the altar, began to pray, and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost, renewed him? He had been away from God for 15 years. 15 years he had been away from God. But he came, and Jesus was in the house. Did you see that? Did you see? Did you see that time when Brother Michael came in and sat down with Brother Troy? Did you see when he used to look around at all of us like we were kind of weird? Did you see that he got excited about it all? Did you see that day when Brother Waldrop was preaching and he came and stood right here and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Did you see that Michael Alley was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for his sins? Oh, I saw that. I saw that. I saw that. I got a question for you, though. Did you see when Chuck and Delana Newman came in and sat back there on that back row? Amen. And they sat there and they didn't come back for a few services, but then they came back and they didn't come back for a few services, but then they came back and they didn't come back for a few services, but then they came back. Did you see the time that she received the Holy Ghost standing right over here by this pillar? Brother Greg Bryant was preaching. Did you see the time that Brother Newman received the Holy Ghost standing right here at this corner and Brother Bryant laid hands upon him and he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance? Did you see when we baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins?
Oh, praise God.
Oh, Jesus! Did you see when Sister Kendra Hatcher was sitting on that second row back when the pastor was incoming, laid hands on her and prayed for her, and God refilled her with the Holy Ghost? Did you see that we buried her a little over a year ago and she has gone on to her reward, but God in his mercy drew her and kept her in such a time as that?
What about? Do you remember that time? Amen. That Brother Troy came in. I believe it was to Sister Kenda Hatcher's funeral. And he sat over there. And all the church gathered around him and said, "You need to come back home." Amen. He said, "I know I do." And it was but a few weeks later, Brother Troy came in and made his way to an altar. And God refilled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's in the church shouting the victory. And his wife has come to church. And she's even been filled with the Holy Ghost. And you may say, she's not here yet. Jesus ain't done yet. I said, Jesus isn't done yet. He's coming again. He's coming again. And he's here on Sunday morning. And he'll come back Sunday night. And he'll be in the house Wednesday night. And he's going to be here every time two or three are gathered in his presence.
Praise God. Anybody see Sister Maya Brown standing about right here when we pray her through to the Holy Ghost? Anybody see when we baptize her in that baptistry right there in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Jesus was in the house. I said Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house, and he's coming again. He's coming again. And he's going to enter into your comfortable village. And he's going to show you that everything ain't so comfortable in your life. And you've surrounded yourself with the comforts of life. But Jesus is going to come in. And he's going to show you. Amen. I am the peacemaker. And I am the comforter. For unto you is born this day a child. You shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of peace. Woo! He's in the house. He's in the house. Let me continue on so I can try to keep it under an hour. But I want you to recognize the next thing. Just ride with me for a little bit. I want you to recognize the next thing. The Bible said that when he come unto the house, that it was noised abroad. Somebody needs to make some noise. I'm not talking about only in the house. I'm talking about outside of the house. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to make some noise. You know why? Because this boy needs the Holy Ghost. And you know what? We took him into the house of God, and guess what? Brother Henry got the Holy Ghost. And we baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen, amen. You've got a reason to make noise. You've got something to make noise about. You've got something to talk about. You've got something to be excited about. You've got something to shout about. You've got something to tell your neighbor about. You've got something to tell your boss about. You've got something to tell your family about. You've got something to tell your lost loved ones about. You've got something to tell, amen, your backslidden family about. Your backslidden kids about. Your backslidden dad about. Your backslidden mom about. God is reaching for backsliders, and God is in the house. And so they all came to the house. But you know what? Brother Garrett and Brother Michael and Brother Henry and myself, come on up. We got there late. Whoa. We could preach about that for a while, huh? Don't be late to church because you may not have anywhere to sit. Don't be late to church because somebody may sit in your place. Uh-huh. Yeah, there were critics in the house too. Guess who didn't get any miracles though? The critics always show up. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, and in that house were certain scribes who reasoned in their heart and said, who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus said, well, let me show you a little thing or two, honey. So that you may understand that I am. Amen. I'm going to tell this man my sins be forgiven. And in the name of Jesus, take up your bed and walk. But before that, we have found a guy that needs Jesus. If I had thought about it, I'd have brought a blanket, but I didn't. But we found a guy that needs Jesus. And so you get one corner of the blanket. We all got a corner of the blanket. All right? And we're carrying this guy. None of us are muscle men. So he's a burden. So, Sister Pam, send that blanket on up. Dear Mr. Jesus, help us, God. All right, I got to get a corner. We'll spare the blanket. We won't put nobody on it. But you know, we got some, so we got to walk like this. Yeah, exactly. Not lean and stoically, but we're carrying something. Yeah? And here we come. Dude, you need to lose some weight. I know I'm fat. Oh, we can't get in. We can't get in. Look, it's all full. You know what? I was preaching in Denver, Colorado one time, and the house was so full. Y'all keep my side of the blanket. Just hold it. The house was so full, my wife will tell you, people were peering in the windows. People come, and they were opening the doors. And they were looking, and they were closing the doors, and they were walking around to the windows. And they were looking in the window. The house was full. You guys are muscle men. I can't hold it that high. This guy weighs a lot. What are we going to do? We can just go home. Say, well, you know what? I got off work late. I don't want to go into the house. All kinds of excuses of why I can't go into the house. All kinds of excuses why I shouldn't go in the house. These guys had a responsibility of this man. Look, buddy, I'm just telling you right now, I ain't carrying you home. Something has got to happen. So you know what they did? They came over here. They said, all right, look, put this blank down here, all right? Brother Michael, come up here. All right. Now, you two guys have got to grab him. You got to hand him up here on the roof. Come on. Get a hold of him. Give me this guy. Give me him. Come on. Man. All right. We got to get. All right. Y'all come up on. Bring that blanket with you, too. And so we get him up on the house, and we lay him down. We'll put the blanket out. Spread the blanket out first. So we spread the blanket out, and we lay him down. So what are we going to do? We're going to tear the roof off. And so they set to tearing the roof off. And they tore that roof off. Now the roof's over here, okay? So they tore that roof off and they broke it off. They. They brought him. They could not get in. They climbed on the roof. They tore off all of the thatch that was up there. They broke up the members that was holding the thatch. Pick him up. And they lowered him down into the room. I'm just telling you, you've got a responsibility to do something. Don't sit back and say, well, when God sins, it'll happen. No. They. Why did they do it? Because this one had a testimony that said, I was on the wrong road, but Jesus came. And this one had a testimony and said, I was on the wrong road, but Jesus came. And they all
to say it. If I can just get him into the presence of Jesus, everything is gonna be okay. I rebuke that spirit that wants to say, well, I'm going to church today, but I don't believe it's going to happen. I'm going to go to church today, but ain't nothing going to happen. I'm going to go to church today, but I'm going to leave the same way that I came. I'm going to go to church today and just do my responsibility. I'm going to go to church today and just do my part. I'm going to go to church today just because it's Sunday morning. Hogwash on all of that. When Jesus is in the house, anything can happen. You can leave different. You can leave healed. You can leave with a miracle. You can leave saved by the power of God. Light shine down there, and here comes this man hanging down. And Jesus turned around and he looked. And the Bible said that when he saw their faith, not the one of the palsy's faith, their faith, when he saw their faith, he said unto the one of the palsy, he said, thy sins be forgiven. Take up your bed and walk. I've got a question for you today. Would you rather take up your bed and walk and be healed of your palsy? Or would you rather have your sins forgiven? I'm telling you today, I'd rather have my sins forgiven. But Jesus didn't stop right there. He took care of what the most important thing was. But unto the critics, he said, so that you may know and understand, I'll tell him his sins are forgiven, and take up your bed and walk. God could heal your body. But the most important thing is that God would save your soul. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Let's stand. The Bible says that immediately, he didn't need a 15-week course at AA. He didn't need a drug detox center. So that we can get just a little bit more specific to the need, he didn't need physical therapy. He didn't need any of that. The Bible just simply says, and immediately. Oh. Immediately the unbeliever was made whole. I wish that the believer would have that much faith. I said, I wish the believer would have that much faith. Some of you may have physical problems. Some of you have got, I'm saying this very kindly, you've got some mental problems and stuff, just emotional problems is probably the better word, because you're messed up by emotions all the time. Depression, anxiety, fear, and all these other things rule and reign in your life. And amen. And just all of this other stuff that's going on in your life. And you know what? You just come to church service after service after service after service, and you become comfortable. You become comfortable. You say, well, I've gotten prayed for. Get prayed for again. And again. And again. And again. As often as I go into the house, if Jesus is there, hey, today may be my day. I ain't going to pass it by. Try it out. And immediately, he rose up, picked up his bed, looked at all of his friends, said, thank you for inviting me, for bringing me. Thank you for having faith for me. He left with no palsy and no sins. Two for the price of none. Now this is what I really like, and that sums it all up. And the Bible says that when this happened, they
were all amazed. I'm telling you, new life, God is getting ready to blow your mind.
Hallelujah.
God is getting ready to blow your mind. And I just got a feeling it could happen tonight. Again, Tuesday night. Again, Wednesday night. And again, Friday night when Brother Johnson takes this pulpit. And again, Sunday morning. And again, Sunday night. God is going to blow your mind. They were amazed. Whoa! I was praying this morning in the sanctuary, Sister Cowan. I'm praying in here, praying about something. And God just said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not going to worry about it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
God's going to take care of it. And you know what came back to me? He said, just keep the dove at peace. Don't grieve the Spirit. Keep the dove at peace. Oh, I want the Holy Ghost on this church. I want the Holy Ghost on every service. That's got to be my focus. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. The old timers think they got a leg up on us in those brush arbors, Brother Wirths. There's going to be miracles and there's going to be things that are going to happen. Amen. That some of the elders that may have seen it in the brush arbors, they're going to look around and they're going to be amazed. They're going to say, I've never seen it on such this. I've never seen it quite like this. This blows my mind. It ain't because of me. It's because Jesus is in the house and somebody had faith. They had faith. And when he saw their faith, you don't have to live bound up. You don't have to live under, amen, oppression. You don't have to live under all of that anxiety. You don't have to live with addictions. You don't have to live with all of that. You can come to an altar, get in the house, and Jesus can speak to your condition. That's all I need him to do. God, just speak. And a centurion says, just speak, and it shall be done. Maybe you want to experience that today. I'm just telling you, come. Come. You're in the house. You're in the house. Let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. You may say, well, what if God doesn't? I say, what if God does? Come on, somebody believe. Somebody believe. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, help us pray today.
Jesus.